Begin the current daf, Masechta Nedarim, daf Samach Beis. We begin at the bottom of the Samach Aleph from the Beis, three lines up in the bottom of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah of the previous daf. That is, we were discussing when there's a time limit on a neder, and what is the understanding of what you're trying to say. So, for example, as the Mishnah differentiated regarding something that doesn't have a distinct time, which means say it fluctuates and it's not clear how long that the duration would be. So now the Mishnah said, then you only mean until it should be. For example, as the Mishnah said, if someone says Ad HaKayitz, which is the time period of picking the figs, or even if he says Ad Sheyehei, which we had said in the previous Mishnah, that Sheyehei means that you, like for example, if you say Ad Sheyehei Pesach, you mean to say until the whole Pesach is over, in contrast till Ad Sheyegia, which is only until Pesach starts. But regarding Kayitz, the gathering of the figs, since we don't know how long that period is going to be, so therefore, even when you say Achihei, it's only Asa Achiyeschilo Am Lahachnes Bokokolas. It's only Asa until the beginning of that period when they start putting into the baskets. Now, however, as our Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, but if a person said specifically Achiyavra HaKayitz, until the period of the Kayitz, even though it's you don't know how long that's going to be, and generally you would not include yourself in that doubtful period, but if you said until the Kayitz, the picking of the fig season, is over, then it's Achiyich B'Hamikzayis, then it's going to be us, the person who took this neder, let's say, not to drink wine, until this period that the kites is over. Then when is that over? That's when they start folding up and putting away these Mikzayis, which are these certain types of knives that they use in the processing of putting the figs. They would make these round cakes called the Guli Devela, which we find throughout Shas. So that's the end of that period. That's when the neder would be up until that point. Now, Tanu, we learn in the Braisa, Achiyich Filu Roiv HaMikzayis. It doesn't have to be every single last one put away. If the majority of those mikzayis are put away, so then that means that the season is basically over, and that's until when the neder would go. Now, we learned, as we continue on top of Samach Bezim and Aleph, that Tanu, in the Braisa, that similarly, hukful reva mikzayis, if the majority of the mikzayis, these tools that are used in the processing of the figs at the end of the season when they make it into these cakes, if most of them were put away already, then mutaris mishum gezel, then any figs that are left over in the fields are permitted. There's no violation of theft. And the reason being is because that means the owners already gave up from those which are left in the field. If they already put away their tools of processing, they're just going to leave it whoever wants it to take it because then they're done with it. They're obviously not processing it any further. And hence, upeturism and amaisis, that those figs are going to be exempt from maisa, from giving a tithe from them, even though they're tevel, they were never given any of the matonis that have to be given from produce. Because as the pasuk says in Devarim Yadal, Uvaha Levi, the Levi comes and he takes Maaser. Why? Because he doesn't have a portion and an inheritance with you, because they weren't given lands to develop as the rest of the Jewish people. Now that the Gemara darshens elsewhere that excludes hefker, ownerless items, where he does have a chelik v'nachlimach. The Levi could just as much get an ownerless item, just like you, and therefore that's not considered something that he deserves to get Maaser. And since these things are like hefker, that's why there's no gezel. So therefore, you would be exempt from ma'aser too. Now, the Gemara illustrates this halacha with a few stories. Rebbe v'Rebbe Yisei v'Rebbe Yehuda, iklo lohu astra. So these two Talmidei Chacham went to a certain place. Bizman shehukfulu reva mikzayis, and it was the end of the season. Most of these tools had been put away. So Rebbe have a ka'achol. So Rebbe was eating, because we said in this previous halacha that hukfulu reva mikzayis, so it's permitted, it's hefker. However, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda lo yachal, he did not eat. Now, Asa Marin, Amalhu, so the master, the owner of this field, came and said to them, Amay lo yachal Rabbanu, why the rabbi is not eating? Because he saw Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't eating. Hukful reva mikzayisu, this is the time period when the majority of the mikzayis are put away, it's hefker, you can eat whatever you want. Now, however, Ava Pekain, in spite of this, lo yachal Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda still didn't eat. Kisav mishum sanyis milsehudu ka'ama hodin gavra. He thought, he felt, that it's actually the cynicism of this person that said, what do you mean, you rabbis, you said once the knives are put away, you could take it, so take, you said. But he didn't really mean it, he didn't really want them to eat it, and he was actually upset at them, and therefore he said, I'm not going to eat from this guy's field under this situation, even if he's telling me now that why aren't you taking, it's permitted. Similarly, Reb Chama b'Reb Chanina, iklu luhahu asra, he went to a certain place, bizman shehukful Reb Mekzayis, again at the same time period, at the end of the season when most of these tools were put away. So he was eating. So Yav Lashamo, he gave to his attendant, and Lo Yachal, he didn't eat. Well, it's someone's field, I'm just going to be eating someone's figs. So Amalei Achal, so he told his attendant, eat. Because Kach Amalei Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi Misham Av, this what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi told me in the name of his father. Hukvul Rav Mekzayis, if the most of the Mekzayis, these tools, these knives were put away, Mutaris Misham Gezel Ubaturis Mah Maisa. There's no problem about theft, and you don't have to take off Maisa's either, again, because it's Hefker. Now, Rav Tarfon, Ashkech Ahu Gava, a certain the owner, a certain man, encountered Rav Tarfon, at the time of when the knives were put away, and the Reb Tarfon was eating the figs in the field because it's permitted now. So this owner came along and saw Reb Tarfon eating from his fruit. He put him into a sack and he took him. And he was carrying him to throw him into the river. So Amar Loi, it says that him, and the Bach takes out the word to him because it was Reb Tarfon reflecting to himself. And he said, "Oy loy le Tarfon, woe to Tarfon, shizaharga, this guy's going to kill him." So Shama Hugava, this man who was carrying him, heard that this is Reb Tarfon. So Shav Kivarik, he left him and he fled because he was embarrassed. Here he had the great Reb Tarfon in his sack. Now, Amar Reb Avo, Mishrim Reb Chananya ben Gamliel, Kol Yomav Shoyis Tzadik, all the days of that righteous person in Reb Tarfon's life, he was pained by this incident. Amar, he said, "Oy li, woe to me, sheneshtamashti bekisr shel Torah, that I utilized the crown of Torah." And that is because the only reason why that person left him alone was because he found out that this is Reb Tarfon. Not because of that he liked Reb Tarfon. It was only because of the honor of his Torah. So he felt like he utilized as a crown, as a way to get stuff, because, I mean, to save himself, because of his Torah. And he felt bad, as the Gemara illustrates. Because v'amr rabba b'b'chana amr b'yechanan, kol ha-mishtamish b'kisr shel Torah, whoever utilized the crown of Torah, in other words, you use it as a way to get stuff, nekar min ha-olam, so then he's uprooted from the world. And kal v'chaymer, you could learn this out logically from Uma Bal Shetzar. Because if we find Bal Shetzar, who is a king of the nations, sh'nishtamish b'kli kodesh, sh'nasu kli chayil, he utilized the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, which actually weren't even sanctified anymore. They already were deconsecrated. Shenem, like it says a pasuk in Yechezkel, uvo bo pritzim chileluha, that the pritzim, though the destroyers, came and deconsecrated. In other words, kiven shepartzu nasuchel, once they made the breach in the sanctuary, so then they all became non-sanctified. And still nekem in the oilam, and still he was uprooted from the world because he used those utensils. So like it says a pasuk in Daniel, after he went and he had this big party, which was the precursor to the story of the Megillah of Esther, which was the same thing with Achashverosh, again, because of the miscalculations of the 70 years of Golas Bavel. Like it says a pasuk in Daniel, Bei Belil, you cut to Bal Shetzer. That night, Bal Shetzer was killed. So we're talking about somebody that used something holy, but it wasn't even holy anymore, it was already Choyl. And still he was killed, he was Nekam in Olam. If somebody utilized the crown of Torah, you can never deconsecrate the words of Torah, where they're everlasting forever, for eternity. All the more so that a person will be nakam in the olam if he utilizes the holiness, the sanctified words of Torah as a way to get things for his own purposes. Now the Gemara asks, Verb Tarfon, since he was eating the hukfulu reiva mektsayas, he was eating at the time period when it was permitted, because it was already all the knives put away, why was that person bothering Reb Tarfon and taking him in the sack to throw him into the river if what Reb Tarfon was doing was halachically sound? So that the Gemara says, because Mishum da hu have a ganvile in ve kulishat, that landowner had a thief that was stealing grapes from him the whole year. Bekivin the Ashkech Reb Tarfon, once he encountered Reb Tarfon, sovar hainu de ganvile, he thought, I got him, that's the thief. So although now was halachically permitted time, but he saw that who is coming and taking fruits from his field is that same thief, and that's why he was taking him until he found out that this is Reb Tarfon. So on that, the Gemara wonders, if that's the case, so why was Reb Tarfon bothered by this incident all of his life? In other words, if you would say before what the Gemara just answered, that person was only bothered because of what happened that moment, meaning there wasn't a whole history about someone stealing from him the whole year. So that would make sense why Reb Tarfon was bothered, that he didn't just tell that landowner that, wait a second, what are you doing throwing me into the river that you're going to kill me? That this is at a time when it's halachically permitted because of the majority of the Mekzayis were put away, so therefore your fruit are hefker. Now, as the Ram points out even more, and even if the guy is not going to listen, he doesn't care. What do you mean, halacha? Are you taking my fruits? But he should have just paid him that small amount of money, however much fruits he ate. He probably didn't eat that much. Now, so that would make sense from the fact that he didn't do that, that he didn't just notify him that this halacha will be permitted, or that I'll pay you for that amount. And rather, he ended up using his name, not on purpose, but he said, oh, woe to Tarfin, and then the person, because of his Torah, saved him. So it's understandable why he was in pain for that, because he ultimately was mishtamash b'kesa Torah. But if you say, like the Gemara just answered, that the whole year there was somebody stealing from him fruits, so what was Reb Tarfin supposed to do? Well, he was supposed to pay the whole amount that this guy had stolen from him the whole year? That's a lot of money. So what else should he have done? What's wrong with having been saved with the Keser Taira if there was nothing, he had no alternative to be saved from his life? Obviously, you're not supposed to get killed instead of saying that you're a great rabbi. So what was wrong? So that the Gemara says, Mishum Reb Tarfin Asher Gadlhav. The problem was because, and that's what bothered Reb Tarfin, he was a wealthy individual. V'havale l'faisa v'damim. And yes, since he was wealthy, he should have appeased him with money, even though this is obviously what happened, that someone was stealing from him the whole year, and he was suspecting Reb Tarfin from that. Reb Tarfin was bothered that I should have paid him the whole money. The whole year, I have enough money. And therefore, there was an alternative, and therefore it was inappropriate, Reb Tarfin held, to having been saved by the fact of the honor of the Torah that he had. Now, the Ran does point out, however, that it's only in this type of situation where that it's usher, because even after Reb Tarfin said, oh, woe to Tarfin, actually that person was still suspecting him. It's only because of the honor of his Torah that he left him. Oh, you're a great sage. I still think you might be the one that was stealing from me. And therefore, that's inappropriate to utilize your Torah learning as a way to free yourself, like a free card, out of jail card, even though maybe you did something wrong. And essentially, here you're not really utilizing it in the appropriate way. That's called Mishtamash Bekesta Shatara. That's Reb Tarfin held that this guy really thinks I did it. He just heard I'm Reb Tarfin say, let me go. That he felt was wrong. But the Ran says, definitely, as the Gemara is going to say later on, that a Talmud Chacham could exempt himself from certain things that he's not obligated in through the honor of his Torah. Like a Talmudic scholar could say, I don't want to pay taxes, or I want you to take care of my court case first. Where, as the Ran explains, that just like the Torah gave Kohanim and Levim certain rights, certain privileges, Truma and Meiser, so too the Torah gave certain rights to Talmid Chachamim because of the honor of the Torah, which are certain elements, and therefore it's not always a forbidden thing to use your Torah learning for something, but if it's in an inappropriate way, like this guy who is still suspecting him, Reb Tarfin held that he's using the Kesa Shatayra, which bothered him, that's how he had to be saved. Now, in a related vein, the Gemara says, Tanya learned the Braisa, it's the passage in the Varm that says, Le'ahavo es Hashem likecha, to love Hashem your God, Le'shmaya b'koiloi u'lodavkaboy, to hear his voice and to cling to him. Now, this will be related to this concept of not being Mashamash b'kisa shotera. So the Braisa says, what do you see from this pasuk? Shloyema adam, a person shouldn't say, Ekra sheker'inu chacham. You know what? I'm going to learn Torah. I'm going to read from Mikra so that people call me a smart man. Or Eshne sheker'inu rabbi. I'm going to learn from the Mishnah, from the Torah Shabbat that they call me a teacher. Or Ashanein she'eyah zakin v'esh b'yeshiva. You know, I'll learn so that I'll be an elderly person and sitting in yeshiva and I'll get all these fringe benefits. That's not what a person and why a person should be learning. Rather, you should learn out of love for Hashem, as the pasuk says, La'avas Hashem likecha, and that's why you're going to be l'shmaya b'kaylei u'ledavka b'ay. Now, b'sof hakavod lavo, and don't worry, at the end, the honor will come. That shouldn't be your reasoning for why you're learning Torah. Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Mishlei, says kishim aletz be'esecha, you should tie them, meaning the words of Torah, on your finger. Kasav maluach libecha, you should write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, your purpose should just be that you should be fluent in the words of Torah, but not for your own individual desires and pleasures. It's just that you should be well learned. And as the Girsa has it in the Ran, that it says a different pasuk in Mishlei, Kishrim alibecha tamit, you should tie them always on your heart. Andem al gargresech, you should wrap them around your neck, which is also the same idea that the purpose and the intention of your learning Torah should be for the sake of Torah, which is for the love of Hashem. Now, on that is what the Gemara continues. It brings a proof that Sefer Kavod Lavi, that ultimately the honor will come meaning goodness will come out of the Torah learning, like Va'ima, like it says in Pasuk Mishlei, Direchecha Darchei Noyim, our paths of pleasantness, you'll get the goodness. And similarly, Va'ima, like it says in the Pasuk after that, Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikimah, it's a tree of life for those who hold on to it, V'simcheha Me'usha, and those who support it are those who are praiseworthy. So again, you see the concept of A, that when you do it, you should do it for its sake, not for your own pleasures. But don't worry that the ways of Torah anyway are ways of pleasantness and ways of praiseworthiness. And meaning that the person will have, like it's called gliklach, you'll have a good life anyway. Now related, Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzadok Omer, he says similarly that asei devarim l'shem pa'olam. You should do the things for the ones who created it. In other words, for Hashem, who created and commanded that this is what should be done. And v'dabra behem l'shmam, you should talk in the words of Torah for the sake of Torah. And similarly, as the Mishnah teaches in Avos, al tasim atar liz gadol behem. Don't make the words of Torah as a crown to become great. And ba'al tasim kardim liyas oidabayins. And the other way is that don't make the words of Torah like a pitchfork, like a shovel, so that you should be able to dig with it. So don't make it like I'm better than everyone else, or even use it as a way to get things, because of a kavo chayma. If regarding Baal Shetza, that when he used the holy utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, which weren't even, didn't have that Kedusha anymore, they already became Choyl once the Pritzim came in, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and still Nekam the Olam, by utilizing those Kli, he was uprooted, he died. Someone's going to utilize the crown of Torah, either by becoming great or as a way of digging, as getting stuff for it, all the more so, that type of a person will be Nekar min ha'olam. Now, however, Amar Rava Rava says, as we said from the round before, that although you can't use Torah, there are certain rights that a person has as a Talmud Chacham. Shari leila inish lo yidui nafshe. Rava says, a person is allowed to make himself known that he's a Talmud Chacham, ba'astra de lo yodile, in a place where they don't know him, as the Rush explained, so that people shouldn't degrade him and his Torah, and they're going to get punished, because a Talmudic scholar is someone that you have to respect. So you let it be known who you are. Tachsiv, like it says, the Pasuk in Malachim Aleph, says that Va'avdecha, that Avadya said to Eliyahu, that your servant, Yaris Hashem in the Uroi, and that he feared Hashem from his youth. I mean, in other words, because maybe Eliyahu didn't know. So you let it tell people so that they know that you're a Talmudic scholar. Now, that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, coming back full circle to the story that we said before, Elikash Reb Tarfon. But then we have a difficulty with Reb Tarfon. If a person is allowed to let himself be known that he's a sage in a place where they don't know that who he is, so why was he bothered all of his life that he let this person know that he's a Chacham to give him respect, if you're allowed to let people know if they don't know so that they can properly respect you? And here's Reb Tarfon in a sackcloth being carried to the river. Hasan Ved the Gemara says, as we said before, because the Asher Gadol Hayah, because he's a wealthy person, he should have appeased him with money. As we said in that incident, where even if he thought he stole him the whole year, he still should have paid him, and he shouldn't have used his Torah as a way out when the person was really suspecting him and he had an alternative to pay him off. Now, related to the pasuk that we just said, Rav Rami, he posed it as a contradiction. On the one end, it says the pasuk in Malachim Aleph, v'avdecha yoras Hashem in the Uroi, that your servant feared Hashem from his youth. So therefore, he's letting him know that he's a tzaddik, a righteous person. But there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Yahaluchu zar v'loy picha." Let others praise you, not your own mouth. So is a person allowed to say his praises or not? So on that, Rava answers, "Ha ba'asri di yadile." When did we say a foreigner should do it for you? Somebody else should sing your praises. That's where they know who you are. You saying it is not appropriate. Ha ba'asri di lo yadile. But when did the other pasuk say, like by Avadya, that you could say who you are? That's where they don't know who you are. They don't know who you are. You can then go ahead and let them know so that they have the appropriate honor for a Talmud Chacham. Moreover, Amar Ravi says, Shari le tzuvah mirabon lememer. It's permitted for a Talmudic scholar to say, tzuvah mirabon ano, I am a Talmud Chacham. Shari le tigroi bereisha. And if I want you to permit my case, in other words, I want you to go ahead and paskin, to judge, educate my court case first. Like it says a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. What does it say? It says Ubenei David Kahanim Hayu. The sons of David were priests. Now, obviously, they weren't Kahanim because David was from Shevet Yehuda, but it just means that they were sages and they had the halacha like Kahanim. What does that mean? Ma koyin noitel bereish, just like a koyin takes first. Avtamachachem noitel bereish. So, to a Talmudic scholar, takes first. Now that the question is, where do we know what Kohen takes first? The Siv, like it says, the Pasuk in Yikra says, V'kidashta, and you should sanctify him, the Kohen, K'yeslechem elekechu makar, because he sacrifices the bread of Hashem, meaning he brings the karbonas. Now, the Tanya of Rabbi Shmuel was taught in the yeshiva of the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, V'kidashta, you should sanctify him. What does that mean? L'chol davar shebekdusha, for every element of sanctity. What does that mean? As we continue on to Amud Beis. Liftoich rishon, meaning when it comes to the Kedusha of Kriyas HaTorah, of reading from the Sefer Torah, the first Aliyah goes to the Kohen. Ulevarach b'rishon, when you're going for the Kedusha of Birchas HaMazon, of benching, he's the first person that gets the honor of the benching. And Melitul Manu Yafa b'rishon, and that is if, let's say, a Kohen is coming to split food with a Yisrael, so the Yisrael goes and makes, splits it in half, he makes the two portions, and then the Kohen gets to choose which one he wants. We always give the Kohen first, and therefore that's the same thing, like we said, that the Kohen gets Trumas and Maestras. Tamil Chacham gets certain things also, which is the same idea, that we judge the court case first. Similarly, Amar Rava, again, another halacha from Rava, and this idea, Sharli L'tzuvim Rabban L'meimah, that's permitted for a Talmudic scholar to say, Lo Yehiv Nacharga, I'm not paying taxes. The Chassid, like it says the Pasuk in Ezra, that Kairish, King Kairish, said regarding the Anshe Knesset HaGdeila, he said, Minda v'loy v'halach, these three things, loy shalat l'mir me'alein, that you should not impose upon these people, meaning the Talmid HaChamim, the men of the great assembly. Now, Amr Behuda explained, he says, what's Minda? Zu menas ha-melech. This is the tax of the king, which is a designated amount for what's called a land tax. B'loy, what's that that the Talmid HaChamim don't have to give? Zu kesef gulgalta, that's the head tax, meaning every single person has to pay a certain amount for his existence. And the halach, what is this that they didn't have to give? Zuar noina. This is the meal of a king when he goes from place to place. The people have to provide for him his food. As in Greek, arnuna is the term for a suda, for a meal. So that's those are three things he said they don't have to give. So we see that there's this concept, Talmudic scholar doesn't have to give taxes. Moreover, v'amar Rava, Rava says also, similarly, sharle letzuvim rabban lameim, it's permitted for a Talmudic chacham to say, avdu de nurana. I am a servant of a man that's a priest for those who worship fire. And therefore, lo yehiv necharga, I'm not going to pay taxes. The reason being is because the servants of those priests were exempt from taxes. Now, and it's not a problem about like as if he's admitting to idol worship because he's a servant for a priest that worships fire. And then the Gemara says, my time, why is it permitted for him to say that? Because lavruche aryimene kama, he's just chasing away a line from himself. In other words, it's obvious that he's only saying it to exempt himself from taxes. Now, and that the Ram points out, this that it says that it's a Talmudic scholar that could say this, that's just an eret chiddush. Even a Talmudic scholar could say this, where people might think, what is this, a Talmudic sage is saying that he's a servant of idol worshippers, of fire? And that's what the chiddush of Rav is saying, that even Talmud Chacham, because although people might think that's what he's saying, and that's how he's using it to get out of paying taxes, but he's really having his intentions for heaven. And actually, it makes sense because it says in the Pasuk, Hashem lekecha esh oichlehu, Hashem, your God, is a consuming fire. So, yes, I am the servant of those who worship the fire, because he's thinking that means Hashem. And everyone knows that, although it might sound like he's a servant of idol worship, but they know he's just doing it to get out of taxes, and therefore, that's not a halachic problem. Now, related to these people who worship fire, the Gemara says that Rav Ashi havelehu abu. Rav Ashi had a certain forest, and Zavni Lebein Nur, he sold it to these idol worshippers who worship fire, that they take the wood, or they're going to take from all these trees, and they worship it, and they burn it for their idol. So Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Ravina said to Ravashi, Ha'ikalifnei Iver Le'Sitin Michshol, but you're violating the negative prohibition of in front of a blind person, you're not allowed to put a stumbling block, which means to say, you're not allowed to cause someone else to sin. And here you are, you're giving him all this fire, all this fuel to use for their idols. So Amalei, Rav Ashi said to Ravina, Roiv Eitzim Lasakanitnu. The majority of wood, of firewood, is used for fuel. That's what most of the people use it for. Now, therefore, it's not like I'm selling it to them for idol worship, because we could say that it's that you're going to use it for a permitted purpose, which is to use it as fuel. And therefore, the halacha is you're not over lifnei evil lasit and michshol if you can say that it's being used for permitted usage. Now, anyone could use anything. You can't tell anyone anything because maybe he's going to use it for a forbidden usage. And therefore, you don't have to be suspect since it's generally used for a permitted item. Even if they're going to use it for idol worship, it's not considered violating the sin of lifnei evil lasit and michshol. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing in the theme of the previous Mishnah of this Perek, when you say that you want the neder to be up until a certain point of time. So our Mishnah says, let's say someone says, ad ha-kotzer, that I want it to be up until the times of the reaping. Now, as we said in the previous Mishnah, since there's no designated time for how long that lasts, it's only going to be up until. But on that, our Mishnah is clarifying and saying that it's going to be forbidden, ad she-yaschal om liktzer k'tzir chitin, until that they begin the season of reaping of the wheat. And that's because the wheat is what's considered the most significant by the people that work the land. And therefore, when they say the word kitzir, the reaping, they mean the reaping of the wheat. Avoloi kitzir sa'ir. But it's not a reference regarding when they reap the barley, because the reaping is considered the more significant of the grain, which is the wheat, and not the barley. But the Mishnah does tell us, hakoi lefi mokem nidre. Everything goes according to the place of the person who's making the neder. In other words, that generally when people say kitzir, they mean kitzir chita. But if in the place where this person lives, that where he made the neder, the people generally, when they say kitzir, they mean sa'irim, they mean barley, because let's say that location is better barley, or that's what's in demand. So then everything will go according to the place of the location. And then yes, if he said up until the kitzir, the reaping, it would mean that of barley, not of wheat. As the Mishnah continues and says similarly that imhoye bahar, bahar. In other words, that if, same thing is regarding the place of the neder, is also that if this person lived on the mountain, the kitzir, that his neder would be relative. Let's say I'm not going to drink wine up until the reaping. Now, every place can have different times of reaping. So now, since he took it in the mountainous region, so that would be up until when in the mountain they go ahead and do the reaping. Even though, if later he goes down to the valley, and in the valley it already reached the time of the reaping, but since it's not yet the time of the reaping of the mountain, then he's still going to be forbidden up until the time of the reaping of the mountain, as the Gemara explains this concept. And similarly, v'imhoye b'bikah b'bikah. If when he took the neder, he was in the valley, so then he'll have to be up until only when the reaping is of that of the valley. Now the Mishnah continues and tells us, atah gashamim. If someone takes a neder that I'm going to be forbidden in wine up until when the rains come, or atshiyu hagashamim, or until when the rains will be, which again, although we said regarding things like Pesach, things that have a specific amount of time that you know about, that they're definite, then Sheyu will be up until the end of that. But here, since it's regarding the times of the rains, Mishnah tells us he's going to be forbidden until the second period of rains come. And that is, there are three time frames of rains. And each one is called Revia. The reason why it's called Revia is because the rains go ahead and they lay down, they penetrate into the land, which is what the term of Reveya is a reference to. Now, on that, our Mishnah said that the person is going to be also up until the second rains. The reason being is because generally when you say rains, you mean the second one, because it's not the earliest ones like the first Revia, and neither is it too late like the third one. So therefore, when you say rains, you generally mean that in the middle, which is the second rains. Now, however, you don't have to wait till after the rains. And even when you use the words atshiyu, the reason being is, as we said in the previous Mishnah, since it doesn't have a designated time, we don't know the rain starts on this date and ends on that date, it can be who knows how long or who knows how short, so therefore you mean always up until. Now, that's according to the opinion of the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, he says, atshiyagia zman shel revia, until it reaches the time of the revia. In other words, not like the Tanakhama who said that it's up until when the rains begin of the second revia. That Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says that even if the rains didn't come yet, but it reached the time of when the second ones usually come, then that's when the neder will go up until. And the reason being is because he holds that since even the coming down of the rain doesn't have a designated time, because sometimes it's delayed in when the second rains come, so we say that it's in the general time when it comes, when the neder will be to, and not the actual yurida, because essentially it's the same svara, the same logic we have, why when you say atshiyu in something that doesn't have a designated time, that it's only up until, not till the end, because if you don't know, you're not going to put yourself in the situation of such a big doubt. Here also, he holds that if you're saying up until the rains, which means the revia shniyah, you're going to mean when it usually comes, not when it actually comes, because since it doesn't have a designated time, it fluctuates, you would want something definitive, which is up until the zman of the revia. Now, however, let's say you say atche yifsiku gisham, up until when the rains stop, then the Tanakhama says you're going to be forbidden atche yetze nisen kuloi, divrei meir. Meir holds it's up until when the end of the month of Nisan is, because because up until Nisan, the rains commonly come down. So it's only at the end of Nisan when they stop. Whereas Rabbi Huda, I mean, he says, Achiyava Pesach. He holds until the end of Pesach. You don't have to wait till the end of Nisan. He holds the rains generally stop by then, and therefore Achiyavsika Gisham would mean up until the end of Pesach. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Lurna Braisa, which elaborates on this halacha that we said of Lefimokim Nidre. Depends on the place where you took the neder. What does the word usually mean? So therefore, Hanoider Ad Hakayitz Begalil. If someone took a neder, let's say forbidding himself from wine, up until Hakayitz, which we said means on the picking of the figs, in the Galil, so that's where he took the neder. Then Beyard La Makam, then he went down to the valleys. Now, Ava Pesha Gia Hakayitz Ba Makam, even though it's already the time of the picking of the figs in the valleys, also, he's still going to be forbidden until it reaches the time of the picking of the figs in the Galil. As we said, wherever it was that you took the nether, although that time has already come in this other place that you are, but it goes based on the makam where you had taken the nether.